just.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us in our Mashiach Matters class. We are holding in the midst of a fascinating discussion about the birth of Mashiach. In the cave, way back then, after the destruction of Lot, of Sodom, and Lot and his two daughters were at this very, very involved in the most important task of bringing the light of Mashiach into the world. There's so much to talk about in this little story, so we are spending a couple of classes over here, but it's really, really fascinating. We left off last week as the I had mentioned. Oops. Move these two machitzas just closer that way. Up to them. Yeah. That, all the way to the thing. Yeah, that does it. Okay. So I have mentioned last week a teaching from the Al-Shech HaKadosh, and I would like to repeat it today, and from there we will continue. Again, so we're holding in Parshas Vayera, Kapitel Yutes, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So the Pasuk over here is describing how the two daughters of Lot had this idea to have relations with their father, and through that, have children. So the Pasuk says, L'cha nashkes avinu yayin, in Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32, let's give our father to drink wine, v'nishkev imoi, we're going to lie down with him, and achayim avinu zara, we're going to give birth from our father children, which we brought last time from the Medrash, that they already and somehow knew, in addition to just having children in general, they also knew that they would bring the ultimate zera to the world. The real zera, the zera that is going to, as the Medrash uses, zera memakim acher, the child, the seed that comes from elsewhere, it's coming from completely outside of the box, to bring new light into the world, to bring permanent life into the world, to bring final healing and perfection to the world. So it says, v'tashkenos aviyam yayin, they gave their father to drink wine, balai lahu, on that night, and the older one came, and she lied down with her father. He didn't know when she lied down with him, when she got up. So by the way, just one interesting thing. It says, he didn't know. If you look in the Chumash, I didn't know, something I didn't mention last time. The word yada says in, who's the one who says this? Let me tell you in a moment. On the word v'lo yada, it's a very interesting idea that yada, the word yada, is from Dvarim Achadim. I'm not exactly sure who he is. In any case, he says they didn't know the word yada is Rosh Tevis, Oyved, Oyved, David, Yishai. Because in ultimate, you know, who's going to be born? When Rus is going to be Megayer, is going to convert, and she's going to bring Mashiach's Neshama and David HaMelech's Neshama into the Jewish people. So Boaz, she married Boaz, and Boaz was the head of the Sanhedrin, the descendant from Yehuda, and again, the grandfather of King David and Mashiach. There were going to be three generations until David HaMelech. Boaz gives birth to Oyved. Oyved gave birth to Yishai, and Yishai gave birth to David. So that's what the meaning is, v'lo yada, that in that he did not know of Yishai, David, and Oyved that were meant now to emerge through her. Because the earlier people, Boaz and higher, from Boaz and up is not coming through Rus. It was only the supercharged Mashiach energy which was inserted at this point in history into Oyved, Yishai, and finally David. In any case, so the Pasuk says that she lied down with her father and he didn't know when she lied down or when he got up. It was on the following day, the older one says to the younger one, I've lied with our father yesterday, as Avi, my father. Let's give him to drink again. Let's have a lechayim with him again. And you come and lie down with him, and let us have enliven from our father children. So it says, "Vatashkana kam balayla hu." They gave him to drink also that night, as aviam their father yayin wine. Vataka matzeira vatishkav imoy, and then the younger one did as her sister inspired her to do. She lied with her father. She lay down with her father. And here again, it says he didn't know in her lying down and in her getting up. Now we understand that over here, these psukim will be riddled with secrets of the Torah. So, and then it says that the two daughters of Loit became pregnant, Me'aviam, from their father. And this one, the older one called her Mayav, and the younger one called her Ben Ami. Okay. Last week we made these diyukim, and I want to make them again. 2 weeks ago when we had the last class. It says, Balayla hu, in that night. They gave to drink their father, Balayla hu, in that night. It doesn't say, Balayla hahu. The right term should have been, they gave to drink their father, Balayla hahu, on that night. The second daughter, look forward. Look inside a chumash, it's much easier to follow. The next girl, this is in Perek Yutes. The next two psukim later, when it speaks about the younger daughter, it says, Vatashkeno gam balayla hahu. You see, the second time it does mention hahu. The first time, it only says hu, without hahu. So it's missing a hey. The other thing is that in both countings, in both Lamed Gimel and in Lamed Hey, in verse 33 and in 34, the word Vatashkenna is lacking a hey. See, Vatashkenna, you got a nun in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. First word of Lamed Gimel and first word of Lamed Hey are both missing a hey in the Vatashkenna. Comes out like this, that by the first, the Alshach HaKadosh points out, that by the first daughter, it's the Torah, there are absent two times hey. The hey of Vatashkena and the hey of Balayla Hahu. See? In Laila Hahu, there's missing a hey. In the second pasuk, there is an absence of a hey, but only one time in Vatashkena, but not in the word Hahu, because the second time it does say Hahu. So the Alshach says like this, being that the point over here was to bring these two neshamas into the world, the neshama of Moav and the neshama of Ammon, which deep inside is embedded the crown jewel of creation, the nesol of Mashiach. Souls are all feminine, and therefore they're hinted to in a hey. Hey is a feminine letter. So that's why everything in Lashon Nekeva adds a hey at the end when you're using a feminine term. So therefore, like this, the first night, these two hays were still absent in the world. These two neshamas were absent. So that's why the pasuk is lacking two hays, because it was the first night. The first daughter was going to have relations with her father in order to draw forth one of the missing hays. That's why the pasuk is alluding to it, that the two hays are still hidden. They're not here. There's an absence on hay number one, and then there is an absence in hay number two. Both the hays are missing. Then the pasuk, however, tells us when it comes to the second one, it says, only one hey, hahu is there, but vatashken na is missing the hey. Because once the first one was pregnant already, one of the hays was already here. The hey of hahu was here already. What was lacking was still the other hay of the word vatashkena. The other neshama needed to come into the world. So that's why she came to fix that problem and to be megala, the two hays in this world. It's an interesting idea. Now, the Alshach continues, and he says something really interesting. In the instructions that the older daughter gives to the younger sister, the older daughter of Lot gives to her younger sister, she says, Hen shachafti emesh. Behold, I've slept yesterday with my father. Now I want you to do it. What does she mean that? Hen shachafti emesh. Behold, okay, I've done it yesterday. What is the emphasis? What she was saying to her sister is like this. I want you to know, we're doing something that seems to be very immoral, something very ugly, something very dirty, that we're having relations with our father. That's like an incestuous relationship. That's the worst thing possible. However, you should know that I did not do this with any personal desire. I was not getting any personal satisfaction or gain from this. I did this purely with motives to populate the world, as they thought that the world was destroyed, or to bring Mashiach. I had pure motives. And that's why she says the words, Hain Shachafti. The word Hain, He and Anun, the Al-Shach says, are the only two letters in the Aleph base who don't have a peer. Because a Aleph peers up with Tes to make 10. A Ches, a base peers up with Ches to make 10. Zayin with Gimel, Dalad with Vav, He doesn't have a peer. The same as Nun, is if you go, Yud peers up with Tuf. Yud and Tuf together are, I think so, how does it happen? The letters, there is a way where you would create also the tens and the first letter in tens, no, maybe it's Yud, I'm sorry, it's Yud and Tzadik that pair up to make 100. Chaf and, but the only one, Nun, doesn't have a pair. So these are the only two letters that are peerless. And then Kuf, I think, with Tuf and Resh. Everybody has a peer. The only ones that don't have a peer, what? It's only four. Nun is 50. So it doesn't have a peer. So she's saying like this, Hen, Shachafti Emesh. The sleeping, this deed that I did was only singular. There was only our father there, and I wasn't even participant. I was totally abnegated. I did not exist with it. There was no zivug of two entities because there was no pleasure for me at all. My intentions were completely pure and holy. It was in a state of just singularity. Actually, this fits very well with the Maral that we spoke 2 weeks ago, that the reason why, 2 weeks ago, the reason why the birth of Mashiach had to come from Lot and his daughters was because when a father has relations with the daughter, it's as if the daughter doesn't exist because the daughter is like a continuation of the father. And it would be only male power without female power. And it was necessary that, I'm not going to go through the Maral again, but that idea fits very well with what the Al-Shech is saying over here as well. Because I'm as if I'm abnegated. I don't dare. I'm in a state of total bittul. There was no physical pleasure for me. It was as if I am not a participant at all in this procedure. And therefore, I am telling you to do the same. Hein shachafti emesh. What I've done yesterday, I want you to do as if you too should abnegate yourself, so that the kavana and the intentions in this union should be so pure without any taiva, without any physical desire. So nothing should be able to mess up the purity of drawing such a powerful neshama into this world. It should be pure holiness. This was her warning to her sister. So says the Al-Shach. Now, another explanation on the reason why it's so clear, it's obvious, it jumps right at you, why the word hahu, it doesn't say, by the first one at least, it doesn't say they slept balayla hahu on that night. It says balayla hu, that night. Without the that, it just says hu, without an extra hey, which is an obvious thing. So what's the idea of hu without the hahu? So here's another 2-3 interpretations, which are very special. And that is as follows. We find by Yisachar, it says, it says like this. When Yaakov had relations with Leah, the night that he was supposed to sleep with, the night that he was supposed to be with Rachel, and Reuven had brought flowers to his mother, and Rachel desired those flowers. And she said to her sister, Leah, can I have your flowers? And, they had this little exchange. She said, did you take my husband from me? Are you also going to take my flowers from me? In the end, they made a deal that they'll exchange Yaakov's intimacy for that night, and Leah would get it instead of Rachel. So, and Rachel would get the flowers. So it says, over there, the Pasuk says that, I'm going to read to you the Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze. It says that, Vayishkav ima, it says he slept with her, balayla hu, Same thing. It's missing the hey. Rashi says over there, why does it say who, not hahu? If you're saying that night, it should be balayla, hahu. So Rashi says that who is indicating on Hashem. That who, balayla, he slept balayla at night. Who, he was there. Who means him? He was there. See, it's not referring to the night. It's referring to, in addition to the night, who, he was there. Who was there? Hashem was there. Hashem was involved in that union of Yaakov. In particular, usually, we know that in every union, Hashem is a participant. So it says there are three partners, father and a mother and Hashem. So Hashem is always a participant when you're going to have a child. But since the soul that was going to be brought into the world was going to be Yisachar, and Yisachar, we know, is the master of Torah, and where Torah is, that's where God is. So being that it was such a powerful neshama that they were bringing into the world, a neshama of Yisachar, which is the one who studies Torah, that's why Hashem was more present and more involved in the birth of this child. That's what Rashi says. It says, who? That Hashem was Messiah. Hashem was helping Sheyetzu Memenu Yisachar, that Yisachar should come out. So just like it says over there, that who, Rashi says it over here in regards to Yisachar, the same is also over here. When it says, Balayla who, here too Hashem was also involved because Mashiach and all this was coming over here. So the Eibishter was involved. It's hinting to when it's saying, Balayla who, not Hahu, that Hashem was there. But here, the Karban Ha'ani, he was a Rav in the city of Chust. I don't know exactly when, who exactly he was, but an interesting idea. He says, and he brings from the Zohar Taka, the Saya Deli'ela Heva, that Hashem was assisting, Ishtakech Bahai Uvda, that the Eibishter was involved in this deed, the Zaman Malka Mashiach Lenafkemine, that Mashiach is going to come out of this birth, and that's why the Eibishter was involved. Okay. But then he says an interesting distinction. Yet we find a distinction that distinctions between the God's assistance in lights giving birth to Mashiach and God's assistance in Yaakov and Leah. You see, by Yaakov, what's the difference? Is that over there, by Yaakov and Leah, it says the word who, which is referring to Hashem, by the shechiva, by the actual intimacy. When they were together, it says, Vayishkov ima, he slept with her, balayla who, on that night, that Hashem was present. Over here, it doesn't say by the actual intimacy. It says by the wine she gave him to drink on that night. That Hashem was involved in giving him to drink. Hashem provided the mashke. Hashem gave the l'chaim. And it says, exactly, it says it was a miracle. What is wine doing in a cave? They're running into a cave. Where do they have wine? It says Hashem miraculously brought them wine. So, why? So here Hashem kind of was involved, but he wasn't involved in the actual deed itself. He was orchestrating it before. He was setting up the... And the reason is, he says, an interesting difference. Yaakov and Leah is a huge tzaddik and a huge tzadkanias. So the Eibishter was involved, meaning Hashem, at the time of that intimacy, Hashem empowered Yaakov to have the highest, most purest thoughts, that his union should be completely in a state of connecting to the spiritual realms, tapping into the highest unions that are taking place above. Like we know, when tzaddikim are having a physical union, it's not physical at all. It's completely spherotic. It's connecting to what's taking place so that they can draw down the neshamas that are up there. Here there was a special divine assistance that the union was on a level like never before so that Torah can come to the world in Yisachar. Loit, however, is a low life. We know that Loit, I don't want to say Lashon Hara on Loit, because after all he's still the father of Mashiach and he's Avram's nephew and he's Sarah's brother. But Loit, we know, went and he moved to Sadaim because he had an excitement about immorality. That's why he moved there. So he was not a tzaddik in that sense. So Hashem, therefore, the way Yitaka see that instead of Yaakov and Leah, Hashem was there helping out. When Yehuda, later we also find that when Yehuda had to have relations with Tamar, it says that Yehuda didn't get drunk. You know what said happened? It says, but how is Yehuda going to sleep with a prostitute? How is Yehuda, the tzaddik Yehuda, going to have relations with a prostitute? It says that what happened was that when Yehuda went, he was walking, he saw her, he looked away like a tzaddik is supposed to do, not even look. But what happened was the malach actually
pushed him, forced him to turn around. And when he turned around and he looked at her, the malach suddenly filled Yehuda. The malach that's in charge of desire, of taiva, suddenly possessed. He was possessed with taiva. He was out of control. He could not help it, Yehuda. That's why he did what he did. So the question is, if this is the case, so why didn't Hashem do the same thing with Lot? That he should be in the cave, send the malach of taiva, and turn him on to a point where he would not be able to resist and he should have relations with his daughters. Why did it happen in a way that he got him drunk? And the answer is like this: Yehuda's a tzaddik. So even if he was taken for a moment by the possession of taiva, when he actually had the union, it was with pure motives and with holiness. Only with holiness. It was only to bring him to that act. But once he was there, it was in pure kedusha. So Yehuda can be an active participant to bring the neshama. Lot, however, if you're going to have him conscious, if he's going to know what's going on of it, he's going to pollute it with such pollution. So what we need to do is knock him out and get him drunk. So this is what we say: when the Eibishter was involved in that pe'ula and that inyan, the Eibishter got the l'chaim ready. Knock him out so badly that he doesn't know he's intoxicated. He's shikar v'loit. And in that state, we're bypassing him. The daughters, they have good kavana. Their intentions were good. His kavanas would have been bad, so we gave him anesthesia. We put him out completely, and they did what they needed to do, and this is how the neshama. That's why the who is mentioned over here, not by the birth, but by the wine being brought. Now, another interesting inyan of why it says Vatishkena Laila Gam Balaila Hu, not Hahu, was that since Mashiach's neshama is going to be brought into the world, we know that Mashiach is going to bring about the ultimate tikkun, the tikkun hashalim, the ultimate tikkun. What's the tikkun that needs to be made? We know down here in this world, the world is a terrible mess. We know what Mashiach has to fix. But what is it? What's the source of the mess? What's the source? The source of the mess is that God's name is incomplete. As it knows, since Amalek is in the world, and Amalek is really rooted in the chait of the Eitz Hadas, it's all connected. So we know that when Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to erase Amalek, he says, Ki yad al keis ka. There is a hand on God's throne. Muhammad Hashem ba Amalek. There is a war against Amalek, midar dar. So Rashi says, that what does it mean there is a hand on the hand on Hashem's throne? So Rashi says that if you take a look at the words carefully, you see that the word Yudke Vavke is spelled incomplete. Ka, it only says Ka, it doesn't say Yudke Vavke. The tetragrammaton, all four letters are not stated, only Ka. The Vav He is missing. Now, also on the throne, it says Al Kes Ka, on the throne of Ka. It doesn't say Al Kise, on the throne with an Aleph. So Rashi says that Hashem swears his name is incomplete and his throne is incomplete. That means his name is incomplete. There's an absence of a vav and a hey. You only have the first two letters. You don't have, until Mashiach comes, you don't have the full flow of yudke vavke. You only have yudke. You don't have the vavke complete. And also Hashem's throne is missing the aleph. It's case, which means concealment, not kisei, which means a throne where Hashem can manifest. Since what's missing is the hey and the vav and the aleph from the word kisei, so when Mashiach comes, he's going to rectify the hey and the vav of the yudke vavke, and he's going to bring back the aleph into the kisei. Together you have who, the word who. So that's why it says, Vayishkav imoy balaylo hu. This night was a sleeping, which was going to correct the who, the hey and the vav and the aleph, to bring about the completion of the Eibishter's name and the Eibishter's throne. This was all their intentions when they were having it. So says the Maloya Omer, Rabbi Yaakov of Tzintz. I think he's from the Arya Leib of Tzintz, I'm sorry. In any case, here there is also a fascinating, fascinating Yismach Moshe, something that when I read today made me dance. And I said, today is my birthday, and I said this was Mamash, a birthday present, just this Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe is known to have been one of the tzaddikim who was waiting for Mashiach like with like breathless anticipation. And really amazing. Anyway, so he says something fascinating. He's medayek a few diyukim. He makes he notices a few what might seem as discrepancies in these psukim. Number one, he says, the question over here is, by the first one it says, Vatishkav Esavia, she slept with her father. By the second one it says, Vatishkav Imoi, she slept with him. How come by the first one it says she slept with her father? And the second one it says she lied down with him. So Rashi says, the first one was lacking in tznius. She was the one who started it. She was the one who opened it up. She was the one who gave her an idea. She was immoral. Because she was lacking in tznius, that's why the Torah publicizes that it was with her father. The second one, since she was more modest about it, the Torah hides it and says she slept with him. It doesn't say with her father. It's not so explicit. So it seems to be saying praise about the second one over the first one. That's what Rashi says. The Yismach Moshe asks a question. He says twofold. Number one, we see that both of these two, first of all, you see, the Gemara heaps praises in Baba Kama on the first one over the second one. It says, since the first one was the one who initiated and went the first night, she merited that her jewel that she created, which was Rus, came into the Jewish people four generations before the next one. In other words, you have two neshamas that are buried in Klipa, are in the unholy. And the two neshamas need to be extracted and brought it back into Kedusha. The descendants from the first one, which is from Mayav, came back by Rus, which, as we said earlier, is the great-grandmother four generations before David HaMelech, or three generations before. The next one came back in the days of Shlomo, which is four generations later. So the Gemara says, because the first one did his rizus to do the mitzvah first, she merited to bring her jewel into the Jewish people four generations earlier. So you see that you're praising the first one. You're not criticizing her for her, because they were doing a mitzvah. In addition to that, we see that the main kingdom of David HaMelech and Mashiach is all in Rus. The second one, Naama HaAmonis, ends up being the wife of Shlomo, which adds one piece in the puzzle for Mashiach's neshama to be. But she's not bringing David HaMelech, she's not bringing Shlomo HaMelech, she's bringing a wife to Shlomo HaMelech. Her name is Naama HaAmonis, who comes from Amon. And so it's a little piece of the puzzle. But the first one is really the one who's making the major contribution. The second, so how can you say the first one is sinful and is over the second one? That's his first question. Question number two. You see that the first one says two times this word. Let's enliven from our father children. Unachaya ma'avinu zara. Wait. So hold on. So comes out, what's the first question? Comes out, the question goes, then we go back to the question. How come by the first one it says she slept with her father? And the second one, it says she slept with him. And we don't want to accept Rashi's interpretation for now because we have a problem with it. Next question.
Before anyone acted, her or her sister, she says to her sister, let's sleep with our father. There's nobody in the world to be. They thought all men died. She says, there's no one here to be with us. So let's have relations with our father. We're going to have children. Okay? So she says, let us give birth. Good. Let's enliven from our father children. Then, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, it was the next day. She tells her sister, I slept yesterday with my father. You go tonight, sleep with our father. And let's enliven from our father children. She said it already. Why does she have to repeat it again? We said it yesterday. What's the emphasis a second time? Why would the Torah say it? That she said, "Unachayam avinu zara, let's give birth." Says it once already. Another interesting diok, he says. How come in the second time she says, "Unachaya, we're going to enliven from our father"? She should have said, "Utechaya, and you should." Utechayam avinu zara, you should. Because she did it already. Her deed was done already. It's already the second night. Bishleimer, the first time she says unachaya, because me and you, we're both not pregnant yet. So let's enliven from our father children. Follow? Let's enliven from our father children. But The second time, she already has, she's pregnant already. So she should have said, you should be machaya from our father. I'm already done. What's the emphasis? She says, unachaya a second time. Let us have children. And then another diuk. How come the pasuk has to say in the next? It says, Vatareno shtei benois loit me avien from their father. The two daughters of Loit became pregnant from their father. How come the Torah has to add salt to the wound? Everybody who knows, you read the story, you know it was from their father. Obviously, it's not a nice thing that they had children from their father. How come the Torah emphasized it was from their father? Yeah, it's actually missing a hay over there. That's interesting. Now, another thing is, it says, and then and lastly, he says, how come in Taka, the first one called the child Mayav, which means from our father. The second one called it Ben Ami. So Rashi says because she was Motznias, a son of my people. She didn't want to say from the father. But you have to understand a little deeper, why did she call Ben Ami? So he answers a fascinating answer. He says, if Mashiach and David HaMelech, Mashiach and the greatest dynasty of the Jewish people is born from this union, is a sign that there was not a tiny bit of impurity over here. This whole act and this whole event was motivated totally of pure motives. Either one of the two things, as we mentioned earlier, either they thought that the world is destroyed and they literally wanted the continuation of the human species, which is nothing higher than that. If God wants the world to survive, then this isn't high. So this was actually a very, very heroic act of in a sense, it's sacrifice. In a sense, this was a sacrifice on their part that they're going to be looked upon disgracefully forever, and yet they were doing it for pure motives to populate the world. Okay, number one, especially if we say that they thought that Mashiach, if they knew that they're bringing these powerful neshamas. So they didn't have any bad intentions at all. So, but, he says, their main kavana was, as we said before, they thought everybody died. They need to populate the world. Why then, if they need to populate the world, why do they both have to have relations with their father? Let only one. You need to have a baby. Why do they have to do the sin twice? The answer is, they need a boy and a girl. If they're going to populate the world, you need to have a boy and a girl. If they're only going to have one child, it's going to be a boy. Unless the boy is going to have a relation with the mother, that's going to get very too confusing over here. So what's going to be over here? So we need to have a boy and a male and a female so that we can have a couple that can get married. So therefore, they understood that they're going to have, they're having a relationship with the father with their intentions. One of them should have a boy and the other one should have a girl. But how can you do that? How do you know? Whenever you're having a child, one thing we know we're not in control of. You can't decide what the gender of your baby is going to be. Some people have 10 boys and they want a girl so badly and they keep on trying. If the Eibishter is going to give them a girl. So what can you do? Or the opposite. How are they going to decide? And if it's not going to work out that it should be a boy and a girl, it's going to be all in vain. Because the whole point is it should populate the world. So they came up with a great plan. The Gemara says there is a way to do that. The Gemara says that when a man and woman are having relations, if the man is the one who plants seed first, then it's going to be a girl. If the woman is the one who plants seeds first, you'll let this. In other words, there is a way to determine the gender of the child, depending on who is the one. That's what the Gemara says. Why? And it's the opposite. Man. So the Alter Rebbe has his explanation, which I'm not going to go in right now. But the Yismach Moshe says the reason for that is because we say the Ila'a Gavar, the when you have the two seeds coming together of man and woman, the one that comes second is the one that overpowers the first one. So if the seed of the woman is first, then the man will come and he will put his seed onto her kind of seed. So he's going to cancel the feminine side of it and it's going to end up being a boy. If the woman is the one who has the... If the man is first and the woman comes second, so she with her feminine power is going to cancel the man's seed, and it's going to be a girl. That's how he, that's some of Farshim learned that's the idea. That's how he will understand it in this case. So she told her sister, we got to make sure we're going to work this out well. One of us is going to have a boy, and the other is going to have a girl. So how are we going to do this? She was first. Since she was first, you got to hear this in just a minute. She says, since she was first, she's first. So she wants the boy. because generally says the woman wants to have a boy. So she's going first, she wants the boy. So that's what she did. So in her relations with her father, she made sure that she would plant seed first, and then it would be him. So how did? So that's why he says, so what happened over here was, the word, there's a word that's used to mean with him. When you use the word imoi, im, with, it always means secondary. Im means secondary, something that's secondary. And for example, it says, v'chai achicha imach, your brother should live with you. So we learn out that you have to take that you have to make sure that your brother survives with you. But what happens if you only have one cup of water and it's either you or your brother? Chazal say chayecha koidmin, your life comes first. Because imach with you, which means he's secondary to you. So you see that whenever it says the word im, im always means secondary. However, the word es, even though sometimes es means secondary, but it doesn't always mean secondary. And he brings psukim where es doesn't mean secondary. Secondary. That's why by her, when she slept with her father, it says vatishkav es havia. She slept es havia. She's first es with her father. She made sure that she is not secondary. She's first. In other words, she basically took care of her own. She planted the seeds first, and then havia, then her father. So that what? So that her father's seed will overpower hers. And well, she tells her sister the next day, Hen shachafti emesh es avi. I slept yesterday with my father in a manner that I planted the seed first. So that my father. Now shkenu yayin gam alayla. Let's do it tonight as well. Uboya shichvi imai. But you be imai with him, meaning secondary to him. Meaning let it be a him first, and you just be secondary to him. So that what? So both of us will be able to enliven children. Why? Because if you're going to do the same thing like me, it's going to be two boys and we're not going to accomplish anything. We need it should be S. You should be imoy. Sorry, with him, secondary to him. So you're going to have the girl. I'm going to have the boy. It's going to be boy and girl. And now both of us are going to, because if not, or else you'll mess it up for both. Good. Hashem, however, knew the truth that there's enough people in the world. No one died, only Sodom and Amorah. Hashem's intentions over here was for what? Not for boy and a girl to be born. Hashem wanted two boys, the two nations to come from them. So Hashem made a miracle by the second one, that even though it was set in a way that it should be a girl, Hashem switched it and made it be a boy. Even though she went second, it should have been a girl, yet Hashem changed it around. That's why the pasuk says like this, The two daughters became pregnant me'aviem, from their father. Both of them, it was in a manner where their fathers dominated in the thing, that it ended up being male energy dominating. That's why the Torah has to say it, even though it should have not been father. The second one should have been, mother should have dominated. No, it ended up being me'aviem from their father. Now, the first one, however, it was naturally, we're done. The first one, it was naturally that way. That's why she's called him Moy Av, from my father. It was naturally. By the second one, it says, Vatsira gam hi yolda bein. The second one, she too. Why does the pasuk say she too? Because really, she wasn't supposed to have a girl. Here it's a chiddush. Hashem made a miracle. Hashem got involved to make that also be a boy. Vatikra shemoy ben ami. Ben ami means, why is he a ben? Because Ami, because of a new nation that has to come out. That's why she called him Ben Ami. No, she said, Me'av. I'm intending it to be a boy, so to be my father's power. But over here, it's Ben Ami. It's because of a great nation that needs to come out. That's why it's a Ben. That's what I tell you. That's what the Yismach Moshe says. I just thought this is so. And he says in the end, he says, this is a true, it's an amazing Pirush and a true Pirush. Okay. So this is over here how these Gevaldige Neshamas came into the world. Anyways, I want to another interesting diuk. This is from the Zohar. The Zohar says, by the birth of the child, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the Pasuk says, V'lo yada, he did not know, b'shichba u'v'kuma. It's interesting, in the word b'kuma, there is a dot
on top of the word of the Vav, Uvekuma, and when she got up, there is an extra dot on that word. It's Nakud. The second daughter sleeps with her father. It says Beshichva when she lie down, Uvekuma. Second one is not only doesn't it have that extra dot, the entire Vav is absent the second time. The first one, it's a Vav, but not a regular Vav. A Vav with a dot, emphasizing a very strong Vav. And the second time, Bakuma is missing a Vav. So the Zohar says like this, Tachazi, come in here. Bekadmaisa, by the first one, Ksiv, Elayada, Beshuchva, Bakuma, Bivav, with an extra Vav, V'nakud al Vav, and it's Nakud on the Vav. Begin the Sayyid Le'ela Heva, because Hashem was assisting, Ishtakech Bahu Ivda. Hashem was involved in helping it out. Tezamen Malka Meshicha L'Nafkeminei. Because Moshiach's neshama was zamin. Moshiach's neshama was prepared to come out from here. We'll begin kach ishtalem hacha bevav, and that's why it says it over here with a vav. Ubaachroksiv ubekuma chaser vav, and by the second one it's lacking without a vav. Begin the loy nafik min achulka lekutche berechu kahai achra. The Zohar says an interesting thing. The Vav is emphasized in the first one because by the older one, there was much more godly light invested over there because she's the one who brings Rus and David the Melech HaMashiach. The second one has much less energy in hers. She's lacking the Vav altogether. By the first one, it says, Ubekuma bivav malav enukad Allah. It's just a very interesting Zohar. That the Vav is emphasizing the same idea that we said earlier on the word who, that Hashem is there. The Zohar sees it in the extra Vav, that Moshiach's neshama is being nimshach over here. Anyways, I'm going to complete the shir today with another fascinating Al Shech HaKadosh. This is an Al-Shech, not over here, it's stated over here, not in the Sefer, not in Al-Shech on Chumash, but in Al-Shech on Megillas Rus. Because we know that, obviously, this whole story over here is very deeply connected to Rus, because that's what's really happening over here, the grandmother of Mashiach. He asks a question. Oh, by the way, to connect the Al-Shech to what we just said from the Zohar, let me continue the Zohar that I just said before, and then I'm going to come to the Al-Shech. When it says v'lo yada, he did not know, b'shuchbo v'kuma, when she lies down and when she gets up, the Zohar says it was alluding to something that was going to happen in the future. Lot did not know that Rus was going to be born from this. By Rus, it says she lied down and she got up. Because we all know the story of Rus. She was the convert. She was a Moabite princess. She came back with her mother-in-law, Naomi. They came into the land of Israel, and Rus went out into the field during the time of the cutting of the barley. She went to her mother-in-law's cousin, who was Boaz, the head of the grandson of Yehuda, the great-great-great-grandson, of course, who is the head of the Jewish people. He's the head of the Sanhedrin. He's like the what we call the Gadol Ador, the Nasi of the generation. He's like an unbelievable person. She goes to his field, and he meets her, and he was very kind to her. He said he saw this little girl, she was acting in a very modest way. And he spoke to her, and he told the boys not to bother her, and they should all take. Anyways, she came back, and she told her mother-in-law how Boaz was so nice to her. And her mother-in-law gives her this strange idea that she should go out in the middle of the night. She said she should dress herself up beautiful, she should bathe, she should perfume herself, and she should go lie down right next to him when he's sleeping at night. And then she should ask him to marry her. Here's what she should do. Anyways, so it says over there, she lied down at night. B'shichba, she lied down. And then, uvekuma, and then it says, vatakam, she got up early before anybody can see her. Early, early in the morning, and she left. So the Zohar says that that's hinted to over here. B'shimen oyim evelo yada, he did not know the zimin kutshe b'richu la'okme menei David malko v'shloima.
He did not know, Loi did not know that David HaMelech and Shloim HaMelech the whole Shar Malkin and all future kings Umalka Mashiach and Mashiach is going to come. He didn't know that's going to come from him. He says that's what it means Bekuma. The Chsiv Berus, like it says by Rus, Vatakam, she got up B'terem Yakar Ishes Re'eyu, she got up. And on that very day, now they didn't have relations that night. Boaz and Rus did not have relations that night, even though she was sleeping right next to him. It says that the next day, he went and they came to Beis Din and he married her. He looked if anybody, there was a closer relative really to marry her. And when the other relative didn't want to do it, he married her that day. So Bahu Yoyma Havala Kima, and that's what it means, Bekuma, because on that day, this neshama was raised up to the highest to connect to Boaz and to have these future children. Vida is chaberima of Boaz. And on that very day, Boaz connected to her. Lahakim Shema Mace. Okay. And all these kings were now set up to come from her through that marriage. V'chali luyei di Yisrael, and everybody important amongst the Jewish people came from her. So that's what it means. V'lo yada b'shichva, he did not know when she lied down, is referring to Rus lying down with Boaz. Bekuma, and when he got up, he did not know that the Bekuma, that on that day she will have a kima, she will have a elevation to marry Boaz. And imagine, okay. So you see that it's hinted to over here, the future Shechiva and Kima, lying down and getting up. So the Al-Shech HaKadosh says, and again in Rus, something really amazing. He asked just such a simple, obvious question. She says, what was Naomi thinking? She seems to be acting in such a strange way. Here she has a daughter-in-law who is the most precious of preciousness. She's such a modest, special woman. She's a princess. She could have, what do you think a Moabite princess was into in those days? The proscimity, whatever. And the lowliness and the immorality and everything was... She left all the wealth behind, all the honor behind, all her whatever, all the garbage of Moab. She came because she recognized truth. She recognized tzniyus, modesty. She wanted to be a live a life of morality and ethics and of emes and of truth and connected. She was willing to live in poverty. She gave everything up. She said, well, you will go, I will go. And she comes there. The first night she's in Eretz Yisrael with her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law gives her an idea to act in such a what seems to be immodest way. She should go out into a field to a strange man and she should come lie down and next to him. She should uncover his feet and lie down right next to him. It's so insane. And he says the question, he says, and in addition to just the act itself being so strange, she says, she's going to turn her daughter-in-law into a prostitute. Not only that, what's going to happen? Boaz is a big, big tzaddik. Imagine you go to a rebbe, to a tzaddik, and you send him something like this to happen. What's going to happen? He's going to wake up in the middle of the night, see a strange woman lying next to his feet. What's going to happen? How does she know what Boaz's reaction is going to be? The expected reaction is Boaz's going to get up. He's going to start screaming in the middle of the night, how dare you come over here? He's going to call. He's going to wake up the youngsters. It describes over there the youngsters. He's going to wake up and he's going to sound the alarm. He's going to wake up all of his chassidim, all his people that are out there. He's going to say, get this woman out of here. Save. And this woman is going to be taken out. She's going to be stoned or who knows what. Chased away. He says, the words, the Al-Shech describes it so beautifully. He says, Ru'u, see, Balai Isha, a woman has come to me, Vatagalma Regaloi, says she has uncovered my blanket of Vatishkov next to me. Rutfu, chase after, Tafsu, catch her, Ramsuhu, beat her up, Gershuhu, chase her away, Patru, get rid of her, Tarchu, Mekalama, chase her out of the land of Israel. Asula Kadas, do what she deserves. Asula Kanimas, do what's this coming to her. Asula Karau, do to her what is deserving. What kind of business is this? Let all the Jewish people learn that something like this you don't do in by the Jewish people. And not only that, he says, and if this is what she did to an old man, this woman is in extreme danger. What is she going to do with all the young guys if this is what she did to an old man? Not only that, and even if, he says, and then he adds, continues, he says, even if Boaz was not going to react that way, he says, from the house where she was with Naomi, until the field where they cut the barley, is quite a distance, so she has to walk, and she's walking at night because she tells her go there only after dark. So a woman going to be walking out in the field alone at night amongst where the workers are, who knows? She's putting her into such danger that she'll be raped. He says, for sure, someone will grab her. So how does she put her daughter-in-law in such danger to go something like this? And then he says these beautiful words. He says, if you want to arrange a shidduch that Rus should marry Boaz, he says, you're lacking the, is there no other better way of following the traditional Jewish way? He says, are there lacking shatchanim be Yisrael? You have a dime a dozen of shatchanim. Hamibli ain't shatchanim be Yisrael. Don't you have enough shatchanim matchmakers amongst the Jewish people that you have to do something so obscure and something so crazy? They should speak to Boaz and say there is a wonderful woman. She's a special girl. She's a relative of the family. She had Mesiras Nefesh. You yourself saw the tznias that she has. And that's it. Or if she doesn't want to work through a shatchan. She doesn't want to work through a shatchan. She says she herself could have gone spoken to her. She's a cousin. She could say, you know what, we have a relative who died. We're supposed to, he died without children. She is the wife. She's now being Megayer. She's such a tzniyastiga girl. And I'm sure she would have married her and everything would have been wonderful. Why does she have to act in such a strange way? So he says, you have to say that Naomi was divinely inspired. And this was all a plan given to her from above. He says, because very simple. Boaz, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, was not going to marry any girl, and especially not a convert. He had enough very, very, very special families that she could marry from. So to go and marry a convert girl, he says, without any doubt, had she be any other converted girl, for sure, Giores, she would not have married Boaz. Boaz is the Rebbe of the generation. For sure would not marry. It was only because this was the quintessential convert who contained within her all that light and all this glory, okay? She was the special girl. Why? She had it from a great-great-grandmother, the two daughters of Lot. From that day on, when they had their relations with their father, and they did it, as we learned earlier, with pure motives, they had the merit to have Mashiach come from them, right, as we spoke earlier. So therefore she planned like this. She said like this. And she actually saw a sign also. The sign was, Naomi saw an amazing divine sign. When she saw Rus came back, and you know, it's a regular girl doesn't get to meet, on the first day she's around, she doesn't get to meet the leader of the generation and have a private talk with him. Rus came back and told her mother-in-law, I met Boaz himself. And Naomi couldn't believe it. You met Boaz. Right? So she heard that she had a conversation with her, and that he looked after and he was kind to her. She said, this is a sign from heaven. She knew that, but she wasn't sure if this is meant to be, that she is, see, they had a Kabbalah in the family. They had a Kabbalah that a great neshama is going to join from outside. But they didn't know for sure. Maybe it's her, maybe it's another Moabite girl. We're not sure. So she said like this, let's try something. I'm going to send you out in the middle of the night, do this plan, go to his feet. And let's see how Boaz is going to react to that. In other words, she knew that through regular shatchan is trying, she'll try any other way. Boaz would absolutely, he doesn't know. You know, is this meant for him not to be? She's a converted girl. He's not just going to have relations with anybody. He's not going to marry anybody. This is ridiculous. So what happened? When this girl came to him in the middle of the night and she acted exactly like her grandmother did. Her grandmother, the daughter of Lot, did the exact same thing with Lot. She waited until he ate, he drank, he fell asleep. Then she came to him in the middle of the night. So she did the exact same thing. She waited, it says, Boaz ate and he drank and he went to sleep. She came after he was sleeping. She uncovered his legs, which is Pusik says. And when that happened, Boaz did not jump up and scream, because Boaz asked who it is, and when she told her who she is, Boaz saw like mother, like daughter. He right away, because he knew, again, the family knew that there would be a Moabite, that this neshama has to come in through a Moabite. They knew from that story that the Torah didn't relate the story just to tell us. It's a story for the tabloids. It's not a story for the Torah. The Torah told us the story because Mashiach is supposed to come from there. But Lot would not have been, but Boaz cannot be certain. But now he was certain because he saw she's acting exactly in a manner like a grandmother. And the Al-Sheikh even adds that she's the same neshama like the grandmother. It's like the same neshama being transmitted later down. So it's really like grandmother, like daughter, like mother, like daughter. When he saw this, he knew this is the right one. And therefore he said, let's see if we can finish the deal. The next day, he right away went to the Beis Din, and he didn't delay. He made the wedding instantly when the closer relative didn't want to marry her. He immediately took her and married her, and he died the next day already. And so that she became pregnant from him, and Mashiach's neshama came. And it was all because Naomi sensed, she seized the moment, that this would be the moment. And again, she was able to compare this to the great-grandmother, Lloyd's daughters. So you see that Lloyd's daughters were very, very special, and their kavanas were really good, and it was all with holiness. I just want to finish with one last tiny little thing. Someone just told me, my son-in-law just told me today, that Rav Moshe Feinstein relates in his Sefer that there was a Yid who came to him with an amazing story. A Jew who spoke against the two daughters. He gave a shiur, and he put down very, very much the two daughters of Lot, how unsneistic they behaved. He had a dream that either one of the two daughters or two of them came to him in a dream, and they said, how do you speak about us in such a bad way when we acted purely with holiness and with good intentions, and the reason why we did what we did was to take out from what the Christian understanding of Mashiach's neshama is, that it's a relationship without a father. It's a pregnancy between God and this and that. So we bringing Mashiach into this world, dafka through a physical act and through him, to negate that thing. That was our intentions. Rav Moshe Feinstein actually writes this in Igros Moshe about this dream. So we have to be careful about what we say about who. Even those stories that seem to be portrayed in the Torah in a certain way, understand that there are secrets beyond secrets and much, much deeper. And it was really, really something of great holiness. May Hashem merit, may we merit that the Isgalus of Mashiach should happen, take over Miyad. We should live with great simcha, with great joy, with ultimate, with Mashiach now. All the best. A good week to all. My problem is that I'm a little bit behind in some class. I'm putting them up in order so that we don't lose the thing. I think that's very strange. Let me show you. First of all,